everyone. Today on Journey and Beyond, I'm thrilled to welcome Professor Luca Cocci. Luca is an internationally recognized neuroscientist and the head of clinical brain network team at QIMR Berghofer. He completed his PhD in neuroscience in Switzerland, and after research positions in Melbourne and Brisbane, he went on to establish his own independent lab. Luca is also a TEDx speaker, sharing his vision for the future of mental health and inspiring audiences worldwide to think differently about the brain. Beyond the lab, he is passionate about reimagining how we understand mental illness and creating new possibilities for treatment. Luca, it's such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Welcome to Journey and Beyond. So, Luca, thank you so much for being on my platform, Journey and Beyond. How are you? How is life?
I'm good. Thank you, Shivali. Everything good. Thanks for having me.
Right. So, Luca, I had a look at your LinkedIn profile, and what I found was you have gone from Switzerland to Brisbane, from neuroscience to co-founding a center. What's been the biggest Journey and Beyond moment in your career so far?
Well, I think there's been maybe a number of important, if you want, period or moments in my career. I guess the first one was undertaking first the career in science, and this was motivated by a professor called Francois Schenk, that the University of Lausanne was really inspiring in undertaking the research in neuroscience. And you have to remember, this was probably 25 years ago, 20 years ago. So back in the day, neuroscience was, at least in Switzerland, was not even a recognized discipline. It was something that was emerging. It was start with it. And then after the PhD, I guess, second moment was to take the opportunity and probably also some degree the risk to move overseas, to leave Switzerland and come in Australia with the support of the Swiss National Science Foundation to get some training and start my journey here.
Nice. So, Luca, you are working in the field of mental illness. You work on depression. You work on OCD. What is mental illness? And why is it so important that we understand it better?
Well, I think the definition of mental illness is, you could probably define it as a wide range of disorders that affect the thinking, the mood, the emotion, and the behavior of a person, to a point that it make it difficult for this person to daily function. And I guess you could define it probably like this. And it's important to still highlight that we don't have, contrary to other illnesses where we have clear, for example, biological marker of the condition, for mental illness, we don't have that. So it's often symptoms-based and some marker that are biological, but there is, it's not a clear conditional illness like, for example, say cancer or COVID.
Yeah, right. So it's something which people can't really feel or see, but, it affects our daily life.
Yeah.
So you work on depression, right? How does depression actually affect the brain, and why is it so hard to treat? How is it different from OCD?
Yeah, well, in line with what I said before, it's depression is defined by its symptoms. Now, yep. There is a series of symptoms that clinicians observe, and if you have a number of those symptoms with a certain severity, a certain presence or a certain recurrence in your life, then you get the diagnosis of depression. So more and more, though, because the progress in neuroscience are, we start to understand also what's the brain basis of depression, what's the genetics basis of depression, and so on and so forth. Right now, there is no very clear or defined marker of depression. Depression is probably not only one disorder, but is a series of disorders. And that's probably what is missing now in the field. Across mental disorder, this is not only for depression.
Right.
Regarding OCD, again, OCD is a different disorder. It means that the symptoms that people observe, both clinicians observe, are different. Generally, depression is characterized by this persistent sadness, this anhedonia, this low mood, while OCD, it's more related to some anxiety, to some excessive worry, irrational worries. Did I close my heart excessively, or did I been contaminated by germ? Or rituals, like if I don't do this, I'm gonna have, I'm gonna hurt some people.
So in a way, all of us have OCD, right? Because I have OCD of, you know, turning off my stuff top when I leave home every day. I'm more like, oh my gosh, have I turned off my stuff top?
Yeah, I think all these mental disorder, if you want, they still debate in the field, but I guess, this kind of disorder kind of affect functions of the brain that we use every day, like for example, the reward processing or the ability to plan, this what we call the cognitive control, the ability to plan and interact with our environment. Every one of us can have a sense of what potentially as symptoms of OCD is. Every one of us experience some degree of anxiety during their life. But of course, as I mentioned before, extent to which these manifest. Now, for example, you may have some temporary anxiety after they close the door, exiting the house, but this eventually will resolve when you will take your stairs or elevator and you exit the house. But for a person with OCD, this is so difficult to do, to leave that thought and say, no, it's fine. So again, calm down probably to how much this symptoms of these things affect your daily function.
So, Luca, what neurological changes happens in our brain with someone, who is living with OCD?
Yeah, again, in terms of the brain changes, we know that OCD is characterized by some neural signatures, some things in the brain, that some regions that seems to activate differently, some circuits that connect these regions that seems to work differently. Exactly to what cause, what we define OCD, is not yet well known, but we have definitely some some initial knowledge on the circuits that seems to support the behavior and the thoughts, internal thoughts, the recurrence of those internal thoughts in people that are diagnosed with this disorder.
Right. Can technology like brain imaging or algorithm actually see mental illness?
Yeah, I think, you can kind of see or observe region in the brain that are correlated to the occurrence of symptoms. We are now able to do in humans some intervention that may give us some information about the causal implication of a region of a circuit in a specific pathology. But we are a little bit far, we are by far from having a person coming to, let's say, an imaging facility, imaging their brain and saying, you have OCD, you have a depression, you have any other type of disorder.
What is the difference between feeling sad or anxious and having a diagnosed mental health condition? Is it just about, having severe condition, or what is it about? How is it different?
Yeah, again, currently how a medical doctor or clinician diagnose the disorder is using typically some manuals like the DSM, the ICD manual, where there is a list of symptoms and there is a list of criteria that clinician observe, and if they meet the criteria, meaning often it's linked to also the severity of those symptoms, if you meet a certain threshold, you will be diagnosed with not just anxiety, but an anxiety disorder, not just some worries, but maybe with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorders. Right now, the diagnosis are purely symptomatics, and they are done on symptoms based by the evaluation of a clinician.
Right. Do you think lifestyle factors like sleep, exercise, or stress physically change how our brain work? Because youngsters, like a lot of, not me, but a lot of youngsters out there go through a lot of stress in their daily life, right? Do you think all of it shapes how their brain works?
Yeah, I think there is more and more evidence, that life lifestyle factor, but this is any, it's not only mental illness, it's any type of disease. Of course, they play a role. So you probably have some predisposition, genetics predisposition, for example, to develop a certain pathology. Some pathologies can be 100% genetics, and in that case, there is little that you can do to change it. But a large number of pathologies actually are linked. You can have a predisposition, but if you don't look after yourself, you don't do exercise, don't have a social life, you don't eat well, and so on and so forth, you don't do exercise. Of course, the likelihood that you're gonna flip on the other side is higher if you don't. There is again more and more evidence that preventative, if you want medicine, or preventative action that people can do are really important to try to maintain good mental health.
Right. Do you think in the field, because mental health is a growing field now, right? A lot of people are paying attention towards mental health. Earlier it was, it was always connected or linked with having to go to a psychiatrist and, you have a psychiatric disorder. People used to stigmatize a lot about mental health, but now people are so much more open to hear about mental health. Do you think the mental illness could be treated as precisely as physical illness like diabetes or say heart disease?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point. I think the stigma surrounding mental health is decreasing. That you're right, I think it's at least surrounding certain type of mental health. I think there is still disorder like schizophrenia, like obsessive compulsive disorder, that are highly stigmatized, and people, if we take obsessive compulsive disorder, because they, for example, the intrusive thoughts that they experience, the nature of those intrusive thoughts, they feel ashamed and they are not willing to share, and therefore there is not there is a lack of contact with the health providers. It's also linked to the fact that, interestingly, still people somehow, when you talk with people with that they have some sort of mental illness, or even the relative of these people, there is always the perception or the hidden perception that the brain cannot get sick. If you have a depression, somehow psychologically you can change that, or it's not really a brain disease. Is something that people can change. So I feel there is still this bizarre dichotomy between the brain and what the brain generate, that are thoughts, emotion, action, and so on. And of course, it's a circle. It's not only biological, but what the brain generates, feedback to the substrate of the brain. But I still feel that there is stigma in the sense that some disorder still considering, you have an anxiety disorder, well, just get over. It's kind of, and people kind of feel, oh, it's maybe me that I'm not strong enough, not able to overcome that, while maybe there is a strong biological component of that sensation.
So what you're trying to say is OCD and depression, all of these brain disorders or brain mental illness, they are reversible, and if people really work on themselves, it's possible for them to overcome depression and OCD.
Well, we don't know that. I think what I was trying to say is there is the two components. There is the, if we want to call it like this, there is the brain itself, and then the psychological component, what the brain generates, and the what people tend to forget is that these two are intermingled and they act together. You may have something that looks like only a psychological thought, like I'm very anxious, or I have these weird thoughts, but it's just, I can control that. But maybe there is actually a biological substrate, and you can try to correct it, but if the brain doesn't work properly, you're not gonna succeed. So that's what I was trying to say.
Right. So, Luca, you're a renowned scientist in the space of mental illness. You're working on depression, OCD. If your research on OCD and depression succeeds, which I hope it does as a BD officer, what could this mean for millions of patients worldwide?
Well, again, the work that we're doing, particularly in the lab, is really understand the disorder and try to develop therapies that could help alleviate symptoms. So right now, especially in the pipeline of developing therapy, The ambition is not to cure the disorder. No? The ambition is not to, you know, cure OCD or like that, but is to have treatment that will allow to manage the symptoms in a way that, as I mentioned before, the disorder or the symptoms are not impacting the daily life of the person so much. And this may seem like a low bar, but you know, if you think of people with major depression or OCD even, that they are not able to leave the house because of the symptoms, they are not able to work or like that. If you are able to reduce the symptom to a point where maybe, as you said, you just exit the house, you have a little bit of doubts or anxiety about your door, but you can overcome and go to work, that's a huge change in the quality of life and also the burden of disease.
Fair enough. How close are we to seeing stimulation become a mainstream treatment?
Yes, look, I think there is a lot of interest in brain stimulation. In the past, I would say 10 years, the field that really, really boomed or exploded. But you know, for example, in depression now, I think a treatment that is called transcranial magnetic stimulation is an accepted treatment for people that have refractory depression. So people that don't respond to first-line treatment, like pharmacotherapy or psychotherapy, they can access this treatment, and this treatment seems effective in, you know, resolving or help the people that otherwise are left without treatment options. So depression has been the first, if you want, success story, I think, with neuromodulation in psychiatry, at least non-invasive neuromodulation. And right. Now there is more research going to try to leverage this experience and see how brain networks that support certain symptoms, pattern of brain activity that supports certain symptoms, can be changed using these non-invasive in a way that again will allow to reduce the symptoms that people experience. So I am quite confident, I'm positive in for the next 10 years, the outlook I believe we will be able to offer to people new effective option to manage their symptoms.
So, Luca, you must be working with quite a few psychologists. In my knowledge, you do. Do you think there are a lot of people who are coming forward and asking for help or seeking help for depression? Do they understand that they are going through depression or OCD, tribes, mental illness?
Yes. Well, I'm not a clinician. People in the lab that are clinician would be best answer, but again, from the limited experience that I have, I think there is a little bit of resistance in accepting, you know, the fact that you are actually sick. And my perception is that you know, if you have stomach pain or if you break your leg or whatever, you go to the doctor quite maybe not the day after, but very soon. With this kind of psychiatric condition or disorder, of course, also because they are complex in understanding or like that, but people tend to, you know, push it a little bit. So before actually seeking help and saying, I think I have obsessive compulsive disorder, I think there is still a little bit of a gap compared to other condition.
Nice, Luca. You speak like a scientist. Well, thank you so much, Luca, for being on our platform, Journey and Beyond. We'll really appreciate you taking out time and enlightening us about the mental illness field, and it's such an important field, and I think there should be more attention which should be paid to the field of, you know, mental illness and mental health and mental awareness. So thank you so much.